You know, the local economy in the region is a mix of businesses, old and new, all with a common thread. Someone had an idea and pursued that idea all the way up to opening the doors on a new business. We visit with entrepreneurs and sometimes the descendants of entrepreneurs in our monthly business segment, The Ground Floor. This month, we visit with the founder of a Medford machine shop making precision parts for other companies. Varney Manufacturing is the business. Gary Varney is the founder and CEO. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
So, Gary, it sounds like you've always been an entrepreneur in one form or another, that you've hopscotched a bit from one field to another, but generally involved with modest-sized local businesses.
Yes. Derek is probably my real start in business, and I've been there. I was there for 18 years and eventually bought the equipment with Dave Bernard, who owned Derek's at the time, and started my own business.
So the equipment from Derek's became Varney Manufacturing?
Yes, it did.
Oh, that's interesting. So did you move it from Ashland to Medford?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on a very, very hot August week.
You remember it well, I gather.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. It was tough. But we got it all moved in 1 week, so it was great.
So what is the basic idea then? What did you see being able to do with the equipment that had been Derek's and became Varney Manufacturing?
So machining is my background. I started machining right after high school in Southern California. I moved down there, and I'm a graduate of Ashland High School, and that's where I got my start. So when Dave wanted to divest himself of machining and just focus more on marketing, sales, and product development, he and I talked, and I agreed to buy the equipment and start my own business, with having a one-year contract with Derek's to make all of their parts, and then after that, I'd have to survive on my own. So we're still making Derek's parts, quite a few, but we've really branched out and kind of focused about 2008, started focusing on aerospace.
Mm-hmm.
And so we make a lot of parts for Boeing and Airbus.
Wow, how hard a line of work is that to break into? I mean, given the fact that you do have these gigantic entities like Boeing and Airbus.
It's tough. We're not a direct supplier. We're a second-tier supplier, so we supply to other companies that are direct. But it took a long time to break in. We first had to become AS9100 certified, which is a quality certification that Boeing kind of runs, I think, or at least they dictate what's going to go on in there, along with FAA. So to do that, that took about, I think it took us 13 months to get through that and complete it. And so we've been certified since 2008.
Wow. So a couple things here. Number one, the Derek's does still exist. I want people to be very clear on that. So they're still doing the knife sharpeners. Are they still doing the drill bit sharpeners too?
Yes. Yes, they are. Okay. That's the biggest part of their business, I believe, is the knife sharpener, though.
All right. Yeah, they told us a couple of years ago that was the general focus. I think it's more of a consumer rather than a DIY kind of thing. But knife sharpener. So Derek still exists, but are you still making their stuff?
We make parts for their industrial products. So they're drill sharpeners that go to machine shops like myself.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make anything for the knife sharpeners.
Okay. All right. So I wanted to make that one thing clear. Derek's is still in business and getting some of their stuff made by you. The other part of it, though, was you mentioned the making the parts for the aerospace industry and as a secondary supplier. So basically, Boeing comes to another company and says, we're going to contract with you to make this stuff. And then that company then contracts or subcontracts with you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that sounds like a tricky pathway of paperwork and part provenance.
Yeah, there's a lot of paperwork involved. You know, aerospace is very safe, and the reason is because they can trace a part all the way back to the manufacturing process, clear to the time when they dug the material up and smelted it for aluminum or steels or whatever.
Okay, so they can go that far back and say, okay, yeah, this came from this pit in this place.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, I can imagine that would involve a fair amount of paperwork. But then I imagine there's a high degree of precision in what you have to do then at Varney Manufacturing. I mean, you got fairly tight tolerances, I would think, on everything you do.
Yeah, very tight tolerances, and you know, a lot of automated equipment. We've really invested heavily in some really great pieces of machinery, and then we have very, very good programmers. It's all about programming and processing and the equipment, and so we've invested in all of that stuff, and we're able to produce great parts.
All right, so this is not the machine shop of the past with guys working at milling machines and punch presses and stuff. You may still have those things, but it sounds like the workers are more involved with making sure that the machines do what they're supposed to do correctly.
Yeah, they're actually more or less monitoring the machines. Mm-hmm. They do load and unload the machines, but everything is completely enclosed, and robots run parts around and loads the machine up. And so, yeah, it's very clean. Just completely different than what it used to be when I started.
Mm-hmm. Okay, from the machining age. How many people do work for Viney Manufacturing?
Well, fewer now that COVID hit. We had 27 employees before COVID hit, and I think we're at about 17 now. Mm-hmm. COVID turned out to be a big impact on us.
Because of the impact on the aerospace industry, on airlines in particular?
Yeah, about 40% of our business is 40 or 45% of our business is Boeing and Airbus type parts. We do other aerospace parts, but that's mostly for Ericsson, and they have done really well. We're doing a lot of business for them right now. Mm-hmm. They were not impacted by this, at least I don't think they were. But that 40% of our business went away on May 15th. Just stopped.
Just vanished. Okay, so now you got 10 fewer people, and how big is the floor space at Viney Manufacturing?
We have 15,000 square feet.
Okay, I figured you'd need some room for those machines. How big are some of the parts that you make there?
We don't make real large parts. I think our largest machine can do 60 inches by 30 inches, but in general, our parts are, you know, the size of a bread loaf or smaller.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if somebody says, is it bigger than a bread box, the answer is generally no.
Yeah.
Gary Varney's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder and CEO of Viney Manufacturing, which, as you can hear, is making a fair number of parts for the aerospace industry out of a machine shop in Medford. You can join us on the exchange. Questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So certainly in terms of demand for the products, that has fallen sharply since May 15th, as you point out. But in terms of being able to keep employees distanced, is this the kind of machine shop that's clean enough that they were already wearing some kinds of protective gear?
No, just safety glasses. Mm-hmm. But the other thing about our shop is our employees are quite a ways from each other. Mm-hmm. There's where they sit close to each other, like in the office, we put dividers up and wear masks and that kind of stuff. But the employees on the floor are generally 20 or 30 feet away from each other.
All right. So no particular issues there with they're trying to keep them separate. It's just trying to keep them busy is the larger issue, it seems.
Right. So we've been working on that. We had dropped clear down to 9 employees, so we're back up to 17. So.
Wow. Yikes. So there has been some rebound. I mean, what do you see for the near term? I mean, airlines don't look like they're coming back particularly quickly, at least until there's a COVID vaccine, perhaps, and maybe not even then with the changes in travel patterns. I mean, what do you see there, and what are you looking at to potentially diversify away from aircraft to be able to keep the business going?
So I agree there with the aerospace industry. I think we're looking at 2 to 3 years before we get back to maybe normal. The passengers, TSA puts out a number every day of how many passengers travel in the USA, and it is creeping back. I think we're at about a little over 25% of where we used to be, and it dropped down to 5% of where it used to be. So it's coming back. But that said, they don't need nearly as many airplanes as that they have. So we're just looking other directions. We have picked up a couple of new customers, local customers that work in it, local being here and up in Portland. So I've got three new customers there, which have brought back about, it'll probably be about a quarter of what we lost so far, and we're continuing to look for more customers. We do have opportunities. And the aerospace industry is really starting to bid out a lot of packages, mostly because they're trying to, with all this, all these machine shops not working, they're trying to get cheaper pricing. So they're throwing all these parts out that somebody's making and trying to realign themselves for less expensive parts. We've tried, but we haven't won anything on that.
All right. So you couldn't get low enough for some of the bids they were looking for and still be able to afford to do the work?
Right. And we bid on two very large packages. In fact, they're going to be in Austria. We're going to be sending them to Austria to Airbus. Mm-hmm. But in both cases, they kept the parts in-house. So they didn't move them or wherever they were being made.
Where are you in Medford? And were you affected by the fire, I guess, is the larger issue.
No, we weren't affected. Mm-hmm. We're off of McAndrews and Sage. Mm-hmm. The Central Point fire out there by Costco was about the closest it got, but no, we were fine.
Okay, so off in that industrial area west of 99, yeah. In northwest Medford. And have your employees been affected by the fire? Has anybody burned out of their house?
None of our employees were burned out, fortunately, but we all know somebody who has, or like my sister was burned out. And so, yeah, I mean, everybody knows somebody.
Is there anything that you can see that Varney Manufacturing might do to be able to provide some kind of part or something that would be critical to people getting homes, particularly mobile homes, rebuilt?
Probably not. We might be able to do tooling or something like that for somebody, but that's I don't have any business in that industry at all at this point.
Mm-hmm. All right. So all the aerospace stuff generally. What else are you looking at? What kinds of fields could you diversify into other than aerospace? And what fields are you involved in already, perhaps, that aren't aerospace?
Well, we still make parts for Derek, so that's machine tool industry.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then we make parts for motorcycle, dirt bikes, Bauer fly fishing reels, so really high-end precision fishing reels. We do that. We make these earbuds, believe it or not, for the music industry. We make the housings for them out of aluminum. These earbuds sell to China, Hong Kong, and Japan, and they range from about $500 to $3,000 for a set of earbuds.
Wow.
We make a lot of those.
Uh-huh.
So we're pretty diversified, but we were really leaning towards aerospace because aerospace had such a great backlog and what appeared to be such a great future. And it's really good work for us. We really like it.
So a couple of years ago, it looked like, aerospace is just going to continue on the same trend line and parts needed into the future interminably.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they had a 10 to 20 year backlog.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I was trying to get
had that for quite a while. So,
Is that mostly Boeing? Because we'd heard about some of their engineering difficulties, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we are about 60% Boeing parts and 40% Airbus parts.
Mm-hmm.
So, most of our parts end up in Europe. So, interesting enough.
Truly. So, but this is interesting, though, about the earbuds, though, because there's nothing quite like that on the American market, or is there?
You know, I've talked to the owners of these companies, and I think what happens is in Asia, people don't have a lot of room. So, like in America, we buy big things like quads and razors and motorcycles and boats and all that stuff. Well, over there, they don't have driveways that they can put stuff in. They buy small electronic stuff. And so we think that there's an industry that is it's really high-end music. For instance, they buy these really high-end players, that small players that you plug these earphones into, and they have to buy special music. So if you buy an MP3 song, that song that song is 10% of the data that was in...
Right, highly compressed.
Mm-hmm. Highly compressed. So these guys gals will buy the full uncompressed version of that song, and then play it through all this high-end equipment. So they might have $5,000 into a little player into earphones to play this stuff.
Well, so you've had to get not only some exposure to what the basic manufacturing desires are, but also you got to get a glimpse of the culture into which these products are being sold.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have to, but I like to. Mm-hmm. I like to know the industry, and I like to know all of my customers. I know them all personally, and you know, I get to know them pretty quickly. I'm very much a face-to-face person, so this Zoom stuff's not too conducive to me, but I'm having to do it now. So in the case of the earphones, we were doing really well with our customer up in Portland, and he said, would you like to go to China with me, go to a show? Absolutely. So we went there a couple of years ago just so I could understand, you know, what these people are looking for. And it's really all about visuals. The product's got to look like jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically, it's got to be gorgeous from our standpoint, from what we do. The internal parts, that's very technical, and I don't know much about that one.
So do you just provide the shell and somebody else puts the electronics in?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the shells are, like I said, they're like jewelry. We help them figure out a good look to it, and then they figure out how to make it small enough to put their little tiny speakers in it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So, Gary, how would you describe the feeling at the moment? Are you relatively optimistic that things will continue on an upswing at Varney Manufacturing? I mean, you mentioned the airline business coming back and some other fields in which you're active. I mean, do you feel like you're going to be bringing more people back and maybe get back to the 27 you had pre-COVID?
Yeah, I think that'll take a little, at least a year. But yes, we are on that trajectory, and we're finding new customers actually fairly quickly. Like I said, I've already got 3 new customers that make up a significant amount of that. We're looking and we're talking to more. And you know, we're also looking at doing things internally. Maybe we'll come out with our own product or something. So we're working on that kind of stuff.
And how do you have a sales force in addition to, it sounds like you're very much involved in this, but I imagine you have to have some sales force too.
Nope. The sales force.
All right. Keeping it close to home as an entrepreneur. Okay, we're talking to Gary Varney, the CEO of Varney Manufacturing, a machine shop in Northwest Medford, doing the work of Derex Corporation, working with aerospace and a bunch of other industries as well. And our guest in this month's edition of The Ground Floor. Gary, thanks for visiting with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You bet. Take care. Our thanks again to Cynthia Scherr for setting up the interviews here on The Ground Floor and being our partner on the segment. It'll be uploaded to our website at jeffexchange.org by 11 o'clock this morning. That'll do it for hour 1 of the Jefferson Exchange. More coming up.